What is to come? The business of answering that question is a big business. Psychics, fortune tellers, palm readers, financial analysts, planners, investors, Kevin Carter, Dave Walker, Al Roker. Whether it's the weather, money, or one's destiny, what is to come is a big deal. Knowing the future is important to people. However, we must remember that only God knows the future. God alone knows the end. And that ought to be an encouragement to us. It ought to be a comfort to believers. We know that in this life, there is uncertainty. Life is fragile. Life is fleeting. And we go through hard times. Indeed, all of God's people experience trials, tests of faith, persecution. In the book of Daniel, Israel is returning home. That's good news. But she will still suffer. There will still be hard times. And God knows the end. He knows the end of it all. And in his grace, he reveals the end to his people. And he encourages his people with the news. And because God reveals the end, we are called to two responses this morning. We're called to comprehend the end, know what's going to happen, and we're called to contend until the end, to stay faithful. Chapter 12 is the end of the book of Daniel. It's the end of this vision Daniel's been experiencing. Remember, chapter 10, a few weeks ago, we saw a correlation between prayer and spiritual warfare. This is the beginning of his final vision. Chapter 11, last week, challenged us with the history, ancient history, how things would unfold in God's plan. Chapter 12 then teaches us today of God's rule in the end. It's the conclusion to Daniel's vision. We might call it an epilogue. Well then, the first four verses of chapter 12 will invite us to comprehend the end. They reveal the events of the end time. Now, Daniel fits into all of the Bible's teaching on end times events. As you go through different parts of the Bible, we'll see different parts of end times mentioned. And what's helpful to do at times is to grab all of those events together and put them together in some kind of timeline to understand exactly what is to come. And we do that brief overview to get ourselves started this morning. If you look up at the screen with me, we have an overview of end times events. Right now, we are in a time called the church age. This is a time where Jesus Christ is building his church. He's redeeming his people, and he's building his church. People trust in the gospel. Jesus places them in a church. This is the church age. We are looking then for the next event on the end times timeline, something called the rapture. This is where Jesus Christ calls everyone from the church age up to heaven. At that time, we are immediately at the judgment seat of Christ. It's more of an evaluation for rewards than it is judgment in the classic sense. And sometime after that is something called a seven-year tribulation. Those remaining on earth will experience 7 years of tribulation. The Bible breaks it up into two categories or two different time periods typically. 3.5 years and 3.5 years. The central or the climactic marker in all of that is something called the abomination of desolation, something the Antichrist does. We'll talk about him in a moment. At the end of that seven-year tribulation, Jesus Christ returns to the earth, and he sets up a 1,000-year millennial kingdom. This is where Jesus Christ reigns and rules on earth, slowly bringing the earth back to its original, created, perfected state. At the end of that time, Satan is let loose for one final battle before there is eternity forever, something we know as the new heavens and new earth. That's just a flyover, just an overview to help set the stage for Daniel 12 today. One more note then about someone called the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a figure that will arise. It's a human being who will arise at the beginning of that tribulation period, at the beginning of 7 years. And this Antichrist figure will be more or less a puppet for Satan on earth. His activity was described at the end of Daniel 11 last week. You could read that again if you like. The end of Daniel 9 also describes the Antichrist activity. Now, this guy's going to be pretty smooth. He'll be pretty suave. He's going to be the great peacemaker of the world. And what he's going to do is he's going to sign a 7-year treaty with the nation of Israel right at the beginning of the tribulation. Halfway through, he's going to break this treaty, at which time the last 3.5 years will take place. This will be a time of horrific suffering, a time of distress. That then brings us to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. There's this time of distress, and we're introduced to someone called Michael the Archangel. Verse 1, at that time, those three words connect Michael's appearance to what's happening at the end of Daniel 11. We go right out of Daniel 11, verse 45, right into Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. The events are continuing in the narrative. The whole section is tied together at that time. Remember, at the end of Daniel 11, the Antichrist is ruling on earth. He's doing battle. Eventually, he is losing. And during this period of history, during this very trying time, Michael, the great prince, stands guard over the sons of your people. Now, Michael is the guardian of Israel. Remember in chapter 10, he fought in the angelic realm. You can read about him elsewhere. In Jude 9, he contended for the body of Moses. In Revelation 12, he fights Satan himself. And in the most dire of circumstances, when conditions on the planet cannot be worse, Michael will arise. Remember that word from chapter 11, that word arise? The kings of the world would continually arise, one after another of these kingdoms that rise and fall, the Ferris wheel of power always turning. Now God's leading warrior, God's warrior angel, he arises. And the timing couldn't be better. Again, in verse 1, there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. This time of distress is the central event of the tribulation. It's what makes the tribulation become the great tribulation. Now, to be sure, the 7-year tribulation will be bad enough. Revelation makes that clear. A third of the sun, moon, stars are darkened. A third of planet Earth is burned up. A third of the sea becomes blood. There's famine and pestilence. There's a great earthquake. And then comes the midpoint. 3.5 years in, while all these things are going on, halfway through, this great peacemaker, this world leader, this Antichrist, he shows his true colors. He takes off his mask, so to speak. He reveals who he really is and what he's really about. He's going to turn on the Jewish people, and he's going to desecrate that which is holy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, he opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation are a time of distress for the Jewish people. And not only will there be additional judgments poured out by God upon a fallen world, but now this Antichrist will have all of the political and economic and religious power in the world. Indeed, it was Jesus who warned, when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it ought not to be, those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. But let's be clear about this time for God's people, because the Lord also reassures. In Daniel's vision, it's revealed, at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. It teaches us that God knows who are his, and God does not forget. This book in Daniel chapter 12 is probably the same as the book of life from the New Testament. It's the record of God's people. God's people, these saints, will be rescued by God. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, verse 2. These to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. At the end of that tribulation, there's going to be a resurrection. And don't be thrown by the terms sleep and awake in verse 2. They may not be the way we normally speak of death. Indeed, it can be confusing to us as it was to the disciples. Listen to this account from Jesus' life. He's talking to the disciples. He says to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep." The disciples then said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." In other words, sleep is a figure of speech to describe death. That's what's happening in Daniel 12. So when we speak about resurrection, then we're speaking about raising the dead. Every person will die without exception. The spirit of every Christian is immediately in heaven, no exceptions. The spirit of every non-Christian is immediately in hell, no exceptions. At death, that physical body will remain on the earth, and the spirit goes of one of two places. But a day is coming when every body will be reconstituted. It will be reunited with the soul. This is resurrection. The Lord does this to prepare every person to stand before him. Jesus says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear the Son of Man and will come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life. Those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." Each of us will then be prepared for either the lake of fire, the permanent dwelling for the unrighteous, or the new heavens and new earth, the permanent dwelling for the righteous. This doctrine of resurrection is, quite frankly, incredible. I mean, in any way that God could have chosen to do this, he's selected such a way to show his power and his authority and his beauty. But we must also recognize that this doctrine brings division. Daniel 12:2, there's everlasting life or everlasting contempt. These are two different groups. They have different priorities, different desires. They experienced different lifestyles. They've maintained different commitments. They now have different destinies. You'll find in that day there will be division in families. There'll be division in churches. And I don't want any of you to be divided from God on that day. You don't need to be, because God has given you Jesus Christ, his Son. And through him, you can be reunited to God. All of us have sin. That's the teaching of the Bible. All are separated from God, but Christ heals the division. He lived the perfect life, the one we cannot live, and he paid the price for sin. Did God approve of this life? He certainly did, because God raised him from the dead. He resurrected the body of Jesus Christ, showing his approval. And if we repent of sin if we turn to Christ and trust in him, we will be resurrected unto eternal life. Jesus promises, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And God then gives them new priorities, new desires. Something changes in that regenerated heart. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a work of God. And we're no longer divided from God, but we're united to him in Christ. I think Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 is evidence of this. Those who have insight will shine brightly, like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. Those who lead the many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. And salvation brings insight. These believers, we become a light. We share the light. And eternity in the presence of God is very much light. And this verse seems to indicate that there's a particular reward for those who take what they've been given and share that with others. We might call that evangelism. Well, our messenger in verse 4 wants Daniel to keep all of this safe. The vision now concludes, but as for you, Daniel, conceal these words. Seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. The book now referring to what Daniel is recording. Recognize here the angel's not telling Daniel to hide this from others, but rather preserve the vision. Keep this in a safe place. Protect it. Don't allow it to be changed or revised. God's people will need this. This is God's deed to his people. It's God saying, I will be faithful to you in these times. What a treasure we have in God's word. God has revealed so much to us, and he's so faithful to keep his promises. The book of Daniel has great value, and it's always a day of mixed emotions for me as we leave a book. We get to know the author so well, and we've gotten to know Daniel's people so well. Daniel's given us a lifetime of knowledge in 12 chapters. I can remember in July, it was the day we didn't have power here, standing down here, from the makeshift pulpit, sweating, preaching Daniel 1:1. We've come all the way now to the end of chapter 12. It's bittersweet to leave these men and their writings and God's people behind. But all that to say is that we will always have Daniel's 12 chapters with us as long as we have our Bibles. God's knowledge continues to stand firm, to be easily accessible from our very homes, in our families, and in our lives. And God has done even more than that, has he not? He's given us 65 other books to read and to learn, to grow. There's salvation and wisdom and knowledge in all of the canon of Scripture. And now, and then, as the end nears, what happens? What did the Bible say is going to happen? Knowledge will increase. We have this canon of Scripture in light of all of the knowledge that's increasing around us. In fact, I wonder if we will not find any other period in history where we have so much knowledge. We can pull up anything in the palm of our hands. You can ask Siri. You can Google it. That's now a verb. This is an incredible time to live. Knowledge increases. But what else do we observe in this text? Many will go back and forth. People are lost. People are looking. Countless people lack understanding. They don't know God. They don't know salvation. They don't read their Bible. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know why they are here. A few people are even confused about their gender. Truth and knowledge are ignored. What follows? Confusion. Recall this statement by Abraham Lincoln. It was after a battle where General Rosecrans lost miserably, and someone asked him of his evaluation of the events, and he said of Rosecrans, he is confused and stunned like a duck hit on the head. So it is with the wisdom of the world. God has given us promises, and God has given us confidence in the Bible. And he's graciously given us the end of the story, as Daniel has revealed. We know what's going to happen. We know what is coming. And Daniel wrote to a people that were entering hard times. Israel was back in the land, and it was rough. And God knew that what Daniel was giving them was exactly what they needed to understand, to persevere, to stay faithful in hard times. Many around them, many around us now, they're trying to comprehend, and it's all preserved right here, what we need. Now, you and I are going to experience hard times. In the same way, God gives us what we need to know in hard times. We do not need to run to the world for answers. A duck hit on the head is not a good look for us. God's message is faithful. What we might do is call these first four verses then the press release. The angelic messenger has revealed what is to come. That information has been given to the public. The messenger in the last few verses is now taking questions. Through this question and answer in verses 5 through 13, we're called to a response. You know, we're now comprehending the end. We're called to contend till the end. And the last nine verses essentially call you and I to be faithful. And it begins with quite a scene if you see verse 5 there. Verse 5 is reminding us of Daniel's location, where he is in all of this. His vision is taking place along a river called the Tigris. We were introduced to this scene all the way back in chapter 10, verse 4. And we're seeing as well that Daniel is not alone. Daniel is standing on one side of the river. With him is an angel on his side of the river. Across the river, he sees another angel. We're not given their names. It could well be Gabriel and Michael. These are the only two righteous angels named in the Bible, and we've seen both of them in the book of Daniel. And then there's this whole matter of the man dressed in linen, this third angelic figure. We saw him in chapter 10. There we suggested that this may very well be the Lord Jesus Christ. We hotly debated this at our church luncheon last time, you may remember. In verse 6, this man dressed in linen is hovered above the waters. It's as though he is in an exalted position above Daniel and the other two. And throughout this passage, as we finish our time in Daniel 12, he is the one who has the answers. One of the angels asks a question, the certain man has answers. Daniel asks a question, the certain man has answers. We now conclude our chapter by walking through these exchanges. Verse 6, how long will it be until the end of these wonders? This is an angel, and he is not asking how long until these events begin. He asks, how long will they continue once they start? Well, every hard time is for a season. The man in linen raises his hands, not just one hand. We're familiar with this in the context of a courtroom. We get that. You raise your right hand. Well, the man in linen raises both hands. A double sign of affirmation. With absolute certainty, the time of distress will end. It will be for a time, times, and half a time. We'll put that in a numeric value. That would be 1 + 2 + 1/2, or 3.5 years. Daniel 7, verse 25 gave us the same number. It's the second half of the tribulation. God's people would be in the hand of Antichrist for a time. It's painful. It's hard. It's confusing. It's dark. It's oppressive. It's for a time. Daniel now poses a question in verse 8. As for me, I heard but cannot understand, so I said, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these events? What's coming after the tribulation? go your way, Daniel. It's much shorter in the Hebrew. Go, Daniel. Go and stay faithful. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly. He's teaching that suffering is no accident, and it is not meaningless. In that time, many Jews will turn to the Messiah. They will be refined. There will be purification. And in that time as well, the wicked will be confirmed. They will not repent. And Daniel had to know this. He had to know that God rules the trials of the end. Even in the end, even when the worst of the worst is taking place, God rules. Similarly, do trials in our lives not also refine us? Is there not purpose and meaning in the things that we experience? Just think about it. We live as pretty self-reliant people, right? We pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We don't typically need help. We have experience and know-how. We have a lot of inner strength. We find ourselves in our culture as free and independent people. We can go just about anywhere we wish. How we spend our time is ours to decide. And we choose to be a very busy people. We fill up our days with all manner of activity, and we are always on the go. But then hard times happen. And then suffering sets in. Then we become reliant on doctors and on treatments. Then we become dependent on others for help. Then we're forced to slow down, be still, and know I am God. God refines his people lovingly, graciously. He uses trials and sufferings to do this. There is great meaning in these hard times that we experience. And as you go through these trials, stay faithful. In verses 11 and 12, Daniel was told there was a promised future after the tribulation. God's plan stretches through 3.5 years. That's 1,260 days. But in those verses, another month is included, 1,290 days. That's 30 more days tacked on to the end of the tribulation. And then by the time we're out of verse 12, there's another 45 days tacked on, 75 days after the tribulation. Daniel's revealed there's 75 days after it. There's no details or specifics coming except he who is blessed makes it to the end. Many believe this is God simply preparing the world for the millennial kingdom. Because at the end of 7-year tribulation, the earth is in rough, rough shape. Many believe that these 75 days that Daniel is revealed are preparations then for that 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. Either way, however that might be understood, the point is still the same. But as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. What a life for Daniel. Hauled off into captivity, named among wise men of a pagan court, uniquely gifted by God. Daniel served under 7 different kings. One threw his friends in a furnace. One died as a result of handwriting on a wall. One cast Daniel into a lion's den. And through it all, Daniel remained faithful. Through his whole life, he was faithful, no matter the season, no matter the trial. And Daniel would die, and Daniel would go to the grave. And he will resurrect, and he will receive reward. He knew the outcome, and he would contend till the end. As I prepared for this morning, I read of a story. It was a plaque commemorating Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And this was dedicated to a man, to some minister. This plaque is in the basement of a chapel at a college in England. All I know is the man was a 19th century minister, so I knew that you'd want to know who was this man. So I went digging and searching and researching, and silence. I could not find his name. And then it struck me, how fitting, how appropriate that that man remains unnamed. An unnamed, average man, simply staying faithful. No fanfare, no glory, no lights. He saw Christ, and Christ saw him, and he remained faithful. Friends, that is our call. To go and stay faithful. Go your way to the end. And I know this morning that many of you are in hard marriages. It does not feel good to be at home. Some of you are in tough relationships with other family members or coworkers or friends. It's rough to talk to those people. I know that service here in the church is hard. I want to encourage you, don't quit. Stay faithful. You and I will die. We'll go to the grave. And one day, God will resurrect us. Until then, remain in Christ and stay faithful. Let me pray for us this morning.